morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Hydro One Limited second quarter 2017 results investment community teleconference. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require operator assistance, please press star then the zero key on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this call is being recorded. I would now like to introduce your host for today's conference, Omar Javed, with the Hydro One management team. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us. I'm here in Toronto with Hydro One's President and CEO, Mayo Schmidt, our Senior Vice President of Finance, Chris Lopez, Greg Kiraly, our Chief Operating Officer, Paul Berry, our Executive Vice President of Strategy and Corporate Development, and Ferio Puglisi, our Executive Vice President of Customer Care and Corporate Affairs. We'll provide some brief comments on our second quarter results and then spend the majority of the call answering as many of your questions as time permits. There are also several slides which illustrate some of the points we'll go over in a moment. They should be up on the webcast now, or if you've dialed into the teleconference, you can also find them on Hydro One's website in the Investor Relations section under Events and Presentations. As the discussion this morning will likely touch on estimates and other forward-looking information, you should review the cautionary language in today's earnings release and our quarterly MD&A, which we have filed this morning regarding the various factors, assumptions, and risks that could cause our actual results to differ as they all apply to this call. With that, I will turn the call over to Mayo Schmidt.
Thank you, Omar, and good morning, everyone. As you are aware, on July 19th, we announced the acquisition of Avista Corporation, a high-quality strategic transaction to purchase a market-leading transmission and distribution utility headquartered in Spokane, Washington. We're very excited about the opportunities this acquisition creates to combine and leverage the strengths of two high-performance companies to create additional value for our shareholders. I would like to talk to you more about this transaction in a moment, but first, I'd like to highlight the achievements and results of the quarter. We have continued to focus our efforts on cost-saving initiatives and operational improvements as we manage our major influences in our business. The three most impactful factors affecting results were unseasonably mild weather and multiple storms, the time required for the Ontario Energy Board to process the decision on our transmission rate filing, and a reduction in the regulatory allowed ROE associated with lower interest rates. While these factors are outside of our control, we have made good progress on a number of initiatives to affect the outcomes over which we have control. Some highlights of the quarter include our continued demonstration of our extraordinary storm response capabilities to turn the power back on. Our crews worked around the clock to restore power during multiple heavy storms in this quarter. They responded to six significant storms affecting over 580,000 customers in total, working through difficult conditions to keep the lights on for our communities across the vast province of Ontario. We also fully launched, on a timely basis, Ontario's Fair Hydro Plan. We worked hard to successfully update our back-end systems against aggressive deadlines set by the province to ensure our customers we would see an immediate benefit as of July 1st. As a result of this successful implementation, the majority of our residential customers, approximately 750,000, will see an average savings of 31% on their monthly bill, meaning an average annual savings of about 600 dollars. Hydro One's transformation to a customer-focused and commercially oriented organization continues to generate positive results and garner strong praise for our employees and customers. The strength of our senior leadership team put in place last year has significantly enhanced our executional capabilities, and we are seeing positive results. They have successfully implemented innovative ideas such as the Move to Mobile program launched in April that has now been fully rolled out across the province and has provided over 2,000 staff with improved processes and tools that ultimately enhance customer service and drive down per-unit cost. At the same time, we are making real improvements in planning and execution around capital deployment, which enables us to meet our capital program targets with precision and accuracy. In 2016, our teams executed on our transmission capital program with precision and achieved targets that were set out and agreed to by the OEB. Over the past quarters, we have continued to see strong execution on a number of early-stage initiatives. which we profiled recently, that all serve to improve our customer experience while reducing our service and bad debt costs. These include continued rapid uptake by customers in the company's enhanced paperless billing service, customized usage alerts, and billing arrival notifications. We now have well in excess of 50,000 residential and small business customers already enrolled, and this number is growing quickly. Our teams are tracking to deliver over 150,000 customer enrollments by the end of the year, which amongst other things serves to reduce our billing and postage costs. I'm also pleased to report to you that billing accuracy continues to surpass the Ontario Energy Board's requirements and is the highest in the company's history at 99.4%. Furthermore, our receivables are coming to trend down and are now at stable levels. We've also extended our winter relief program by an additional month, further enabling us to help our customers currently in difficult financial positions move on to payment programs that they can afford while helping enroll them in government support programs for which they might qualify. This has helped us to achieve enhanced customer satisfaction and savings for the company by reducing call center and collection costs, all without increasing receivable levels. These initiatives are all specific examples of our ongoing focus on creating incremental improvements in customer satisfaction while at the same time streamlining our operations. We also continue to champion capital programs with the Ontario Energy Board to ensure we are maintaining reliability in the system through appropriate investments and are approved to do the things necessary to continue to provide additional value for our customers while lowering our costs. The work being done to transition both transmission and distribution businesses to an incentive-based regulatory construct will benefit both customers and shareholders alike. We are well underway leading customer consultations and meeting the requirements associated with the five-year incentive rate setting mechanism, or IRM, filing for our distribution rate application submitted on March 31st. For the transmission segment, we are expecting to receive a decision on our rate filing for the 2017 and 2018 during the third quarter. At the same time, we are already working to prepare the planned five-year IRM filing in that segment early next year. We intend to continue to invest in rate base to drive earnings in both our transmission and distribution businesses. I would like to now take the opportunity to provide an overview of the Avista transaction announced on July 19th and briefly identify areas of interest to our investors. In addition, we provided supporting information and the related rationale and strategic benefits in the deck associated with today's second quarter results. We utilized conservative leverage and a fully funded equity structure in our acquisition of Avista. Investor demand for the convertible debentures offered in our $1.4 billion bought deal was oversubscribed with strong demand from both retail and institutional investors. The security sold out within an extremely short period, a great testament to the high level of investor support that we received on the Avista transaction, which is truly a historical achievement for Hydro One. Locking in our equity portion, we will be able to realize mid-single-digit accretion in the first full year post-close, while retaining a strong investment-grade rating for Hydro One. Further, we anticipate an improvement in credit ratings at Avista. This is a compelling transaction that brings together two industry-leading regulated utilities with over 230 years of collective operational experience, as well as shared corporate cultures and values. I am very impressed with the team that Scott Morris has assembled and Scott's strong leadership, while we look forward to collaborating on our respective best practices, including bringing Avista and Hydro One strong cultures to a North America footprint. The combination creates one of North America's largest regulated utilities with over $32 billion in assets and a leader in electricity transmission and distribution, as well as natural gas local distribution businesses. Through the transaction, Hydro One will expand into complementary and diversified regulated assets, inclusive of natural gas local distribution. This expansion is a natural progression for Hydro One and will allow us to increase regulated earnings in a constructive regulatory jurisdiction. Collectively, Hydro One and Avista will provide safe and reliable electricity and natural gas services to more than 2 million retail and industrial customers and holds assets throughout North America, including Ontario, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, and Alaska. This transaction will not result in workforce reductions. We anticipate driving efficiencies through enhanced scale, innovation, shared IT systems, and increased purchasing power, which will provide cost savings for customers and continual improvement in customer service. Delivering value to customers is a core focus for both Hydro One and Avista. Together, we are stronger. I would like to emphasize our collective commitment to providing customers with the best possible experience. The transaction is accretive to EPS and gives us further headroom for continued dividend growth consistent with our long-term intention of continuing Hydro One's dividend payout of 70 to 80% of earnings. The combination gives us a strong position in the Pacific Northwest, which is a region of opportunity and experiencing growth. We do anticipate a closing date in the second half of 2018. On a total enterprise basis, we will become a top 20 North American investor-owned utility. In summary, Avista and Hydro One are highly complementary. This transaction is a reflection of the disciplined and collaborative approach both leadership teams undertook to efficiently and effectively build shareholder value by coming together to unlock the full potential of our collective strengths. Now, with that, I'd like to turn the call over to Chris Lopez for some additional color on the financial results. Chris?
Thank you, Mayo, and good morning, everyone. Turning to the second slide, our second quarter revenue net of purchase power was lower by 2.8% year over year. This is reflective of a few exogenous factors. First, the decision on our 2017-18 transmission filing made on May 31, 2016 is anticipated in the near term. As a result, the increase in revenue associated with our planned capital and maintenance spend for the current year will be realized once a decision has been received, since it is expected to be retroactive to January 1, 2017. We anticipate recognizing the catch-up for revenues expended improving the system during the first, second, and third quarters in the third quarter of this year. Second, as Mayo mentioned, milder weather coupled with spring storms resulted in weak demand and moderate increase in costs. The mild weather in the second quarter of this year impacted Ontario peak demand in the transmission segment. Additionally, our considerable effort to restore power to 580,000 customer homes and businesses due to multiple spring storms, while greatly appreciated, affected our costs in the distribution business. Lastly, as a reminder, the OEB-approved allowed return on equity was formulaically adjusted downward late last year, reflecting the prevailing interest rates at that time. The allowed ROE declined from 9.19 in 2016 to 8.78 in 2017, which resulted in lower earnings for both the distribution and transmission segments. Since then, these rates have been steadily increasing. If we were to calculate the ROE today based on the formulaic mechanism, which includes the current long bond rates and utility spreads, the ROE would be approximately 9%. On the O&M front, costs increased by 4.6% from last year as a result of the previously mentioned higher storm restoration costs and the acquisition of Hydro One Sault Ste. Marie, formerly known as Great Lakes Power, in the fourth quarter of 2016. We continue to offset these costs with the operational improvement initiatives that were discussed earlier. Below the operating cost line, the higher financing charges were a result of an increased weighted average long-term debt portfolio, including long-term debt assumed as part of the Hydro One Sault Ste. Marie acquisition, and higher depreciation due to rate-based growth in 2017. Moving over to investing activities, assets placed in service are up $42 million for the first 6 months compared to the same period last year. While we placed $337 million of assets into service this quarter, it is marginally down on a year-over-year comparison, as we had successfully placed two major local area supply projects, Guelph Area Transmission Refurbishment and the Toronto Midtown Transmission Reinforcement Project during the second quarter of 2016. These investments were further augmented by completion of the previously mentioned move to mobile wireless field automation platform, which has equipped our field employees with wireless tablets, connecting them from the company's core operating systems. While overall year-on-year capital investments decreased by 2.6% in the second quarter, the investment in the transmission segment increased by 5.9%. The largest driver of this increase was for work on the Leamington Transmission Station project to address the electricity needs in the Windsor and Essex counties. The capital project execution program is an area that has been enhanced over the last year and was a primary reason for achieving the planned capital expenditures and assets placed into service in 2016 with accuracy and precision. On the next slide, we have two regulatory updates. As mentioned last quarter, on March 31st, we completed a five-year rate filing for our distribution segment under the OEB's Custom Incentive Regulatory Framework for the 2018 to 2022 period. On June 7th, we filed a blue page update to the application, which resulted in a change to the average annual impact on distribution rates over the five-year term of the rate application from an increase of 3.7% to an increase of 3.5%. In addition, the productivity and stretch factor has been revised from 0.6% to 0.45%. This represents a positive outcome for both ratepayers and shareholders alike. On the transmission side, as mentioned earlier, we are expecting a decision from the OEB in the third quarter associated with the 2017-18 rate application that we filed back on May 31st, 2016. As a reminder, this was a two-year filing, and the next transmission filing, which we expect to make in late first quarter next year, will be a five-year rate filing under the OEB's incentive regulatory model for the 2019 to 2023 term. In terms of financial strength, as you see on slide 7, that we continue to have a very strong balance sheet with conservative leverage. Our weighted average cost of debt is low at 4.3%. Our redemption schedule is fairly smooth with an average term of 15.4 years, and we also have a significant liquidity. On July 19, 2017, S&P and Moody's affirmed the A-level credit rating of Hydro One Inc., and S&P affirmed its rating of Hydro One Limited. Both firms revised their outlook to negative from stable as a result of the pending Avista acquisition. Our commitment to a strong balance sheet allows us to maintain a conservative cost of capital and provide substantial strategic benefit towards the organic and inorganic growth of the company. I'll stop there, and we'd be pleased to take your questions.
Thank you, Mayo and Chris. Before we ask the operator to explain how she'd like to organize the Q&A polling process, I'd like to note that we understand a large majority of the sell-side research analysts that cover Hydro One are currently restricted on their coverage in light of the convertible debentures offering we recently announced associated with the Avista transaction. Accordingly, we expect there will be fewer questions than we usually receive on these quarterly calls. So with that, please go ahead, Christy, and explain how the polling process will work.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question at this time, please press star, then the number one key on your telephone keypad. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. Again, to ask a question, please press star one now. Our first question is from the line of Robert Catellier of CIBC Capital Markets. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. I wondered if you could start by talking about the dividend. So as you know, there was no specific announcement that was made with the Avista acquisition, but the payout ratio guidance was maintained. So can you give us a little bit more color on what the intentions might be for the dividend at the close of that acquisition? So what I'm thinking is there a possibility of an increase at the close, or would you consider a larger annual increase once you start to realize the expected synergies?
Hi, Robert Mayo. The board will be reflecting on that. We have about 12 months anticipated, plus or minus, to get to close. So I think they're certainly going to take that under consideration. But the intent certainly is to maintain the 70 to 80% focus that we have today. We certainly take your point, and it will be discussed at the board at the time, I guess, over the next coming months, next coming quarters.
Okay, and just on the change of the productivity factor, can you walk us through what led to that decision in the distribution rate case?
So I'm not sure, Robert, I understand your question. So you're talking about the DX rate case and the productivity in terms of what's been applied?
Yeah, the productivity factor that was revised from 0.6 to 0.45.
Robert, it's Chris Lopez here. Yeah, so in doing the green sheet update or the blue sheet update that we do, we reflect on a number of items, and what we reflect on there is we've already included a number of productivity improvements in our base numbers that have gone into the application. So 0.6 stretch factor is for those entities that require additional savings to get to a long-term average that's within the average of the industry, and we believe that we don't need the 0.6, we need 0.45 to achieve that same long-term average.
Okay, and then my final question is on the rate base CAGR. I noticed there was a change in the timeline for some of the top transmission projects, notably the Lennox circuit breaker replacement, which was moved to 2023. That's outside the five-year CAGR period, yet the rate base CAGR is unchanged. So could you just walk us through how we should be looking at the interplay of those two items?
Yeah, Robert, Chris again. That would be one item. We approach our capital spend profile over the 5 years as a whole. So the CAGR that you're seeing today reflects the current rate cases that are in front of the OEB and our current long-term business plan. So adjusting for one-off projects, we don't update the CAGR, but we would expect the CAGR to still stay within that range.
Save other projects that could possibly make it up.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Linda Azergalis of TD Securities. Your line is open.
Thank you. Just some questions on your cost. Your OM&A is up $12 million year over year. I'm wondering if you could help us understand how much might be related to the labor agreement that was effective May 1st, and how much might be related to storm costs and maybe other timing differences as well.
Hi, Linda. Chris Lopez here. So the two largest items that are affecting that $12 million increase, the costs associated with storm restoration, and the second item is the acquisition of Sault Ste. Marie. That was not in our numbers last year at the same period. So those two items together make up about 80% of the cost increase.
Okay. And can you just, as a follow-up, walk us through the major attributes of your labor agreement and how that might affect your OM&A over time? Or is there not supposed to be much of an increase?
Yeah, I don't think there's really any update to that. I mean, we certainly look at annual changes year to year on our employee costs. However, there's nothing anticipated out of the ordinary course. It's just sort of looking at the Ontario cost of living. But I think you'll see that pretty steady.
Okay, that's helpful. And just to understand the quarter a little bit better as well from a revenue perspective, can you give us loosely some estimate of the effects of mild weather, perhaps, on revenue in the quarter?
Linda, Chris Lopez here. So the revenue difference that you see there, about half of it was made up of milder weather, and half of it was the ROE adjustment.
Oh, and is that revenue net of power costs, or?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not showing any further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the call back over to Omar Javed for any further remarks.
Thank you, Christy. The management team here at Hydro One thanks everyone for investing their time with us this morning during what we know is a busy period. We appreciate your interest, and to the extent you have any questions that weren't answered, please feel free to reach out and we'll get them answered for you. Thanks again and enjoy the rest of your day.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference. This does conclude today's program and you may all disconnect. Everyone, have a great day.